This is Where We Live. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil. Tomorrow, March 20th, marks 6 months since Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico, causing massive damage and deaths. 120,000 people on the island still don't have power today. That's according to CNN. Coming up, we'll hear from a newspaper in San Juan about the challenges that remain there. With no access to electricity or water after Maria, many Puerto Ricans left and settled in places like Florida and Connecticut. Thousands moved to Connecticut. Our state has a strong connection to the island. Many Puerto Ricans live in our cities and other towns, so it's natural they welcome the relatives here after the hurricane. Now, some of those who evacuated are returning as federal government aid to help with food and housing assistance is ending. Coming up, we'll hear how cities like New Haven and Waterbury have tried to help their new residents. With federal aid running out, can the state of Connecticut provide the help that's needed? We'll find out. And you can join the conversation, too, 860-275-7266. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Where We Live. Connecticut Public Radio has been following the stories of the many Puerto Ricans who moved to Connecticut through the reporting project The Island Next Door. Reporter Ryan Karen King made two trips to the island. He joins me now in studio to talk about his recent reporting and some upcoming stories that will air this week on WNPR. Ryan, good to see you.
Thanks for having me, Lucy.
I understand thousands of evacuees came to Connecticut in those months following the destruction of Hurricane Maria. Where did they go, and where are they now?
So as you mentioned before, with hundreds of thousands of Puerto Ricans already living in Connecticut, there's roughly 300,000 people here with roots and ties to the island. Many people moved in with their family. But there are also some people who came here who didn't have family here, and they came to live in hotels, usually with the aid of FEMA. But around January starting in January, then in February, and now their aid started to run dry. FEMA said, okay, there are some people here that are no longer eligible for this hotel aid, and the hotel program itself ended this month. So people started to scramble to find apartments, permanent living here in Connecticut. And what that meant is that sometimes people had to move into their houses without furniture, without supplies. I talked to one woman who had to move in with her grandkids and sleep on a mattress pad on the floor for a couple weeks without any furniture because they just didn't have time to get any. Remember, these people came here without their belongings because oftentimes their belongings were washed away by flooding or the hurricane. So last week, Connecticut Public Radio reporter Frankie Graziano and I tagged along with a crew of volunteers from the area and other hurricane evacuees who are volunteering their time to bring donated furniture from Avon to Puerto Rico from Avon to Puerto Rican families moving in Hartford. We spoke to Maribel Perez. She's a hurricane evacuee who received some of this furniture, including a high chair for her granddaughter. And her granddaughter was 2 weeks old when the storm hit the island.
No teníamos nada cuando venimos al apartamento. No teníamos nada de furnitura.
So what she's saying there is that, no, we didn't have anything. We had the apartment, but we didn't have any furniture. Thank God the apartment is complete. Now we have furniture, we have food, we have clothes. We have all we need thanks to the people who have helped us. So the state also paid for some people to continue living in the hotels until they found permanent housing. And there's actually a church in downtown Hartford that is taking in a few families for several months until they can figure out a more permanent situation. But now I think it's important to note that it's a turning point for these families. It's the end of the honeymoon period where people are living with their families. And, you know, it's not easy to live in the same living room or the same bedroom as people for several months. So now many people will have to ask, should I stay here in Connecticut or should I return to the island?
So we heard from Maribel, who just moved into her apartment. Again, we're talking about the impact of Hurricane Maria 6 months on today here on Where We Live. What took so long for some of them to find a place to live here?
I think it's important to note that, remember that everyone most of the people in this situation lost their homes. If they didn't lose their homes to the hurricane, they lost, you know, all of their belongings or a lot of their things. A lot of people who came here and most of the people who came here to live in hotels just didn't have anything to bring with them. So they were just starting from nothing. And another important thing to note is that a lot of people, some people moved in with their family, some people have lived here before, but many, this is their first time in Connecticut, and many, this is their first time learning how to speak English. So in order to find housing, because there's long wait lists for public housing, and in often cases, there's no public housing or subsidized housing available, they need a job to find housing. And then to find a job, it's good if you know how to speak English. So it's been a long process for a lot of these people to find a place to live. So I spoke with Israel Rivera at the apartment house warming that Frankie and I went to, where people were bringing to bring furniture to others. And Israel is a hurricane evacuee himself. He was in a truck. I was sat with him in one of the moving trucks he volunteered to drive to move furniture to other families. And he came here from Ciales, Puerto Rico with his wife and his children.
Bueno, por lo menos yo, que yo no sé inglés ni nada, hubiera sido bien difícil porque...
So he's saying that for a person or a family that doesn't know English, it's very difficult. If you don't know the language, you can't get to the resources.
You mentioned that he came from Ciales, Puerto Rico. Where is that on the island? And now that he's got a place, does he intend to stay?
I believe that's on the northwest side, but we'd have to look at a map. I can't remember exactly. But Israel wants to stay here. He said, when I asked him why, he was like, oh, I actually like the cold temperature. Like, what are you talking about? That's crazy. But he enjoys the weather here. Obviously, it's a new place to start and a new opportunity to look for a job. He's working at a temp agency Monday through Friday now, and they found an apartment. He has his younger children, and they had been living in this hotel for many months. But right now, they're making it work.
I'm speaking with Connecticut Public Radio's reporter Ryan Karen King. He's done some great reporting on the island and across the state, looking at the impact of Hurricane Maria. You can see a lot of the stories that he and Jeff Cohen have worked on, reported on, as well as some video on the website WMPR.org/island. Now, let's talk about, I guess, the support system that's been in place, Ryan, and what's happening with that now as we again, look 6 months since this hurricane, as families are still looking to relocate.
So I think one of the more important support systems that was put in place was this 2-on-1 hotline that the state and the United Way runs. And that's where families could call this line and get connected to all the social services available. So many of the services were provided by the Salvation Army and Catholic Charities, working with families to connect them with apartments or jobs. And in some cases, paying the first month's rent, the security deposit, making that move easier. But I think it's important to note that volunteers did a lot of the heavy lifting here. And if it weren't for the volunteers, many of these families might have been homeless. You might have heard our story earlier this morning on the Hurricane Relief Center in Hartford shutting down. This was a center that provided, it was essentially just a physical location, a central location where families could walk in it was located in a former Creek school. And families could walk in and get connected to any of these services. But it was also a hub for essentially emotional support. People could come here and have a physical place to convene with other hurricane evacuees and be connected with people who know Spanish, who know the area, who can welcome them to the area. So that hurricane center closed last week due to lack of funding, but also it was always intended to be a temporary place. I went to a celebratory dinner celebrating the work of the Hurricane Relief Center, and I talked to Ana Oquendo. She came from San Juan in December with her family, and she now lives in West Hartford, and she also works there at Brugger's Bagels. So she's saying that with me, it's fine now. My life is getting together because of one of the volunteers at the relief center was always with her. But the problem is, she says, those who are still coming here, the people who are coming after the center closes, she's wondering who can help them now that the center will be closed. And when I was there last week, they told me that just the week the center closed and the week before, over 20 families had been through their doors. And these are people that I mentioned, might have been leaving their families living rooms or places that they lived before. And there's also people who are just coming here from the island for the first time.
That's a good question about what happens with families who are still coming despite some time since Hurricane Maria. So from what you said earlier, Ryan, relatives of these new evacuees, they can call 211 to get referred?
Right. That is the idea now. The system is in place so that while there's no central location, families can call this number and be connected directly to the nonprofits who are helping.
Meanwhile, you're hearing from others who are returning, who are going back to the island. What are they telling you about the reasons why?
So some people just couldn't make it work. For all of the challenges that I mentioned before, either they couldn't find a job or housing, or they just wasn't the place that they wanted to be. And then some people wanted to go home, and they left the island with every intention of going back to the place they wanted to be. One person who I talked to, Carmen Cotto, was an advocate for many of these families. She had lived in Hartford for her entire life and then moved back to the island recently, right before the hurricane. So when the hurricane sent her back here because her house was destroyed and she moved back here with her parents, who also lived on the island. She wasn't too happy to be here, but she knew the area. She knew the system. She worked as a social worker, so she became an advocate for many of the families here and served as a voice of the Puerto Rican evacuees here in Hartford.
Puerto Rico is home. If I am a voice, I'd rather be a voice in Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico, I could speak about the injustice that are happening there. I can assist with whatever I can, however I can. But if I'm not present there to make a difference, then I don't have the right to complain of everything that's happening with Puerto Rico.
So there she's essentially saying she wants to go home because she can be a voice here in Hartford and help the families here. But she feels that her island needs her now. I mentioned that her elderly parents came here and they also wanted to move back. That's the place they want to live in their retirement. And she's taking care of them. And I talked to her last week. I talked to Carmen Cotto last week, and she reports that, the move went well. The flight was safe and she got in. And she reports that in her barrio, her neighborhood, one of her cousins restored the electricity here. He's an electrician and brought power back by working with a crew of volunteers.
You mentioned that she wants to be a voice for people on the island, and she wants to help with the recovery effort. She also told you the part of the recovery effort is to prepare for future hurricanes. Is that on the minds of Puerto Ricans you've spoken with, that next hurricane and what could happen?
Well, most of the people that I've talked to have been people trying to start a life here. So that hasn't really come up, but I'm sure that's a question we'll be asking people if we go back to the island, if we're talking more people who are going back to the island. When I talked to Carmen Cotto, she said that she sort of alluded to this new normal that people will be living there on the island. Sometimes that new normal might be living without things like electricity, living in a post-hurricane society. But she also said that next hurricane season, it's on their minds already. They're thinking about how do we live more sustainably? How do we live without electricity? She spoke to me about wanting to learn how to make her own clothing and learning how to carry on life without things like internet and electricity.
We've talked about Connecticut Public Radio's being invested in this story with reporting on the island as well as here throughout Connecticut. So this week, what will listeners hear on WMPR?
So we have a few stories coming up. Reporter Vanessa De La Torre will have two stories from students here in Connecticut from Puerto Rico. One story from the Hartford Public High School system, or Hartford Public High School specifically. The system-wide took in about 450 students and had been facing challenges before even taking on those extra students. And then another story from Central Connecticut State University. She talked to students there that are facing the same question. Should I stay in this place that, took me in, or should I go back to my island? And then we also have two stories from reporter Frankie Graziano. He has a story about this furniture drive where people from Avon and West Hartford were donating furniture to families moving in here. And he also has a story about the challenges surrounding finding subsidized housing here in Connecticut. And we'll have a video to accompany one of those stories as well.
Ryan Karen King is a reporter and visual journalist for Connecticut Public Radio. You can learn more about the reporting trips to Puerto Rico as well as the extensive reporting Connecticut Public Radio is doing across the state, again, 6 months on after Hurricane Maria. You can learn more at WMPR.org/island. Ryan, thanks again for your time.
Thanks so much, Lucy.
This is Where We Live. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil. Coming up, evacuees from Puerto Rico settled in other cities besides Hartford. We'll check in on efforts to help in New Haven and Waterbury. And we want to hear from you. Did you help your relatives from Puerto Rico resettle here? Will they remain or go back to the island? What kinds of assistance do they still need? You can join the conversation. 860-275-7266. Email where we live at WMPR.org. And as always, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Where We Live. This is Where We Live. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil. Today we're talking about Puerto Rico. Tomorrow, March 20th, marks 6 months since Hurricane Maria devastated the island. Thousands of Puerto Ricans moved to Connecticut after the disaster. You can follow the reporting of Connecticut Public Radio at WMPR.org/island. Now, the city of New Haven has taken in more than 900 evacuees. Joining us now is Paola Sorecchia to talk about efforts in the Elm City to help those evacuees. She's Director of Advocacy and Community Engagement for Junta for Progressive Action. It's a community resource center in the Fairhaven neighborhood of New Haven. Paola, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
I had told our listeners that New Haven has resettled more than 900 evacuees. Are you still seeing big numbers coming to the city, or is it decreasing?
After about 5 months, we did see a decrease. But within the last couple of weeks, we've seen an increase of people coming back from Puerto Rico. Folks are coming from Florida, Maryland, and New York as those resources are being exhausted in those other states. And so they're headed to Connecticut. A lot of the folks that do come to New Haven or to Connecticut are coming because they have family here that would be able to host them.
So talk with us about the coordination that Junta and city officials in New Haven, like when did you start planning? Because again, Junta's been in the New Haven community for many years, but when we're looking at the devastation caused by Hurricane Maria, the fact that many Puerto Ricans were leaving to resettle with their families, it can be a stressful time. And so how did you coordinate to help these families as quickly as you could?
Well, the city of New Haven with the Emergency Services Department, the mayor's office, and also Fairhaven Clinic and Hill Health Center sat down together and really worked to make a plan as we saw an influx of like over 100 people a week coming in from the hurricane. And as we worked through housing issues, employment issues, working on getting coats and donations because it has been a very cold winter. And in the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of snow. So we're still working on those type of donations and basic needs just to make sure that people felt welcomed. They had a one-stop shop, and that was here at Junta. They went from the Board of Education to be registered if they had children of school age, and then they were sent here to Junta. Mm.
Now, you're talking about all the different ways that you're able to help. What kind of strain does that put on the community already in New Haven? Because they have needs as well.
Right. And so the 910 individuals that have come from Puerto Rico are just a fraction of the amount of people that we have as clients. Housing was a big issue and an epidemic before the evacuees came on. Also employment and other basic needs and resources due to the state Connecticut budget and a lot of resources being cut. So adding this new Connecticut residents or the evacuees from Puerto Rico and U.S. Virgin Islands, it's caused a big strain for the community resources year. We're all working together, and we're very blessed here in New Haven to be able to have such a collaborative team. At the same time, we are anticipating an increase of people coming to New Haven due to the resource centers across the state closing. As we saw on Thursday, Hartford closed on Wednesday. Thursday, we saw an influx of people coming in from that side of the state.
This is where we live. Today we're talking about 6 months since Hurricane Maria devastated the island of Puerto Rico. Thousands of Puerto Ricans moved to Connecticut as well as other states after that disaster. Were you one of them? Are you a relative of someone who needed to seek shelter for a few months? We want to hear from you about the help, the assistance that you may still need. The number 860-275-7266. Find us on Facebook and Twitter at Where We Live. On the phone with me now, Paola Sorrecchia, Director of Advocacy and Community Engagement for Junta for Progressive Action. This is a community resource center in the Fairhaven neighborhood of New Haven. Joining the conversation now is Pedro Bermudez from Hartford. Pedro, can you hear me?
Yes, madam. My name is Pedro Bermudez, and thank you very much for the coverage. It's been so important for the community.
Thank you, Pedro, for that and for your call. So tell us a little bit about your story. I understand that you had lived in Connecticut for many years. You'd gone back to Puerto Rico to retire, and then Hurricane Maria hit.
Yes, it did. And it was the most terrible experience of my life. I'm still trying to rebuild my life back. But I was one of the lucky ones who came back to the U.S., and received the support of members of my family who are still living in Puerto Rico, in the U.S.
When you say that you're one of the lucky ones and you had relatives still living here, tell us about the fact that, again, you know this area, so it might have been easier for you in the last few months versus someone who has lived on the island their whole lives and are really starting over. What kind of help do those evacuees need today, Pedro?
Well, most of all, they need caseworkers who could help them identify housing, jobs, health care services, education, and the basic needs of families who are coming to a new environment.
We heard that the Welcome Center in the Hartford area closed last week. Paola from Junta is already hearing from people who are coming that need assistance. Who can step in to fill the gap? Because Junta is just one organization in one city.
I know it's very difficult. It was a terrible loss when they closed the center. And we still have that void that we have to fill out, identify a community organization that identifies with the families and their needs and knows well the resources available. We are still in the process of identifying an organization.
And Pedro, what are your plans moving forward? Are you going to stay with relatives, or do you long to go back to Puerto Rico?
Well, I wish I could go back to the island, but things in the island get worse every day. It's not only the humanitarian crisis caused by Maria, but also... For a decade now, Puerto Rico is going through economic turmoil. It's very difficult. The basic services that we give for granted in the U.S. are not there. Electricity still is lacking in most of the towns away from the metro area of San Juan. Doctors are moving to the U.S. because the economic crisis. Food, most of the 95% of the food we get it from the U.S. And so it's schools are closing because there is no money to run the schools. So it's an entire economic crisis. On top of that, Maria, what it did was that transform that into a humanitarian crisis. So I'm not planning to go back to the island in the near future. It's going to take a long time for the island to rebuild itself.
Pedro Bermudez, again, from the Hartford area, someone who has lived in Connecticut, went to back to Puerto Rico to retire and then found himself back here after Hurricane Maria. We thank you for calling in and good luck to you. We hope that things go well and that you continue to help people that are in need.
Thank you very much.
This is Where We Live. Today we're hearing about how communities across the state are working to help Puerto Ricans who settled here after Hurricane Maria devastated their homes on the island. It's been 6 months tomorrow since that hurricane hit the island. Now, Hartford and New Haven have gotten a lot of attention for their assistance to help Puerto Ricans who moved here after the storm. But evacuees are also moving to cities like Waterbury. Joining us now is State Representative Geraldo Reyes. Representative Reyes, can you hear me? Representative Reyes, are you there? Hi, Representative Reyes. So tell us about Waterbury and how they're assisting evacuees. How many families, individuals from Puerto Rico have moved in recent weeks?
So Waterbury, interestingly enough, to our surprise, we had, when we topped out at a high water number of 300 students from the Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands, and which was only second to Hartford in the state of Connecticut in terms of volume. So we were somewhat surprised at the high number of students that were relocated here. And it wasn't because there wasn't already Puerto Rican families here, but simply because, you know, we were thinking that economically it wasn't a hotbed for jobs or the likes. But what we did know was that we did have affordable housing stock, although we didn't have a lot of it, but it's a lot cheaper to live in Waterbury than some of the other cities that you've already mentioned. So it was very interesting to see the number of students and families that showed up at Waterbury.
You mentioned Waterbury has the second highest number of children enrolling in schools since Maria. What kind of state assistance can be provided to communities like Waterbury, State Representative Reyes?
So what we've been doing as a legislature, Representative Juan Candelaria has proposed a bill to divide $2.5 million amongst the evacuees that have found themselves here in the state of Connecticut. And it's not a lot of money in terms of a state budget, but it is a lot of money when the state is finding itself in economic hardship and budgetary hardship. The other piece of that is not only have the legislators have been trying to help, but the communities have been very, very, very strong in helping the Puerto Rican evacuees. And then there's one other bill that was introduced by Representative Candelaria from New Haven, which would create a fund for this such type of emergencies for all U.S. citizens in the case of a natural disaster.
You mentioned those two bills, one to allocate $2.5 million to communities that are helping these Puerto Ricans who are looking to restart their lives. Where do those bills stand, Representative Reyes?
So right now the bill is as right now out of committee, in committee to be able to hopefully get, we're trying to raise that bill to get it to the floor where then we can put it to a vote. So right now it's still in committee. And it's a position that the Black and Puerto Rican Caucus has united against, united for, and is one of our strong initiatives that we're standing firm on, that we want as a priority bill, and along with education and a lot of other issues. But when you were talking specifically about the evacuees, and I will also say that on a federal level, the senators and Congressman Esty, the two senators, Murphy and Blumenthal, and Congressman Esty, have been keenly on top of this and have been advocating for resources and financial support for the folks that are here in Connecticut.
This is Where We Live. You can join the conversation, 860-275-7266. On the phone with me, Geraldo Reyes, Jr., State Representative in the Connecticut General Assembly for the Waterbury area. Representative Reyes, have you or Representative Candelaria had a conversation with the leadership in the General Assembly? Is it likely that they would move this bill to the floor for a vote, given the state's budget issues?
Well, to answer your question, we absolutely have taken this to leadership. Leadership is keenly aware of what we're trying to do here. And our position is that that we have found money for other important things, and we believe that for our constituents and our communities that this is very important and that we can find this money.
I wanted to turn back to Paola Sorecchia, Director of Advocacy and Community Engagement for Junta for Progressive Action, that's working to help evacuees in the New Haven area. Paola, well, we hear from a state representative right now about efforts to try to get some money to communities like New Haven. How optimistic are you?
Hello, Representative Reyes.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. So I actually am very optimistic. Speaking with President Senator Looney and also Senator Fasano, they've both showed interest in co-sponsoring the bill and actually being able to help protect these U.S. citizens and our new Connecticut residents and being able to get housing and other benefits. I think something interesting that Pedro said that really holds true is we all need a place that we can come to be able to feel welcomed. And here at Junta, whether you're from New Haven or from Hartford or from Willimantic, our doors are going to be open because we are dealing with a humanitarian crisis and we all have to come together. Mm.
And Paola, if that money doesn't come through, what outlook do you see for Junta to continue to provide the services? I mean, on one hand, you say you're committed to helping, but services can only go so far. I'm just curious what the plan is long term, because we know things languish in the Connecticut General Assembly. I'm just curious about the plans to fill in that gap while you wait for those needed resources.
Well, we are right now working with everybody across the state and speaking with them about what resources are available in each state. My next plan of action is creating a triage process that if you come here from Junta from a different area from the state, that we will locate resources within that city or town that you came from that you want to stay at. A lot of these families are coming to other relatives, and so we don't want to separate them. And so if there's anything that we can do working with Bridgeport, Hartford, Waterbury, Meriden, which also has a high Latino population, that we would then create resource lists for those folks and then be able to connect them. Because whether or not we have assistance from the state or not, we cannot turn away and not help people that are in need and that are in crisis like we would do for any U.S. citizen.
This is where we live. Have you been trying to help evacuees that have moved into your community? Maybe it's one of your relatives. We want to hear from you. 860-275-7266. Dave is calling from Bristol. Dave, go ahead with your question or comment.
Oh, Lucy, thank you so much. I enjoy your program. I've been listening to you for years. I did jot down some thoughts so I can keep myself in order.
Thank you, Dave.
I volunteer at a furniture bank here in Bristol called For Goodness Sake. And what we do is provide homeless people transitioning into homes with new furniture and small appliances and household goods to get them going. And I can call on a couple of memories we had back in right within the first month of the hurricane. We had a family with 9 members come up. We had a call to action out on Facebook. That's For Goodness Sake.org is our website, and we're on Facebook as well. We had a call to action, and we had so many donations come in. The family and we usually work just weekends, so we were at midweek. We had this family of 9 people come in, get beds from us, and all the household goods you could possibly imagine to start off in a new apartment. And I personally helped a World War II veteran whose granddaughter was a nurse in a local facility. She flew down to find him and bring him back. He was a World War II veteran, had lost everything, and I personally was able to help him out. So there are groups out there that are willing to help. some of these, you know, these people that are transitioning from Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico, by the way, I love Puerto Rico. I've spent time down there. I enjoy the mountains, which I didn't even know there were mountains there when I visited. So I really like that island very much.
Well,
so.
Dave, thank you for your call. Unfortunately, we're short on time, but thank you for your generosity in trying to help the new residents moving here after Hurricane Maria. We do appreciate it. I wanted to fit in one more call. Joe is calling from Meriden. Joe, go ahead with your question or comment.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Go ahead.
I'm good. Thank you. I was wondering, how is all this going to be paid for?
Good question, Joe. I'll start with Representative Geraldo Reyes from Waterbury. Joe wants to know, with this additional aid, how it's going to be paid for. Representative Reyes, are you there?
I am. And, sir, thank you very much for that question. It's a concern of many of our constituents, and not only our constituents, but also our elected officials. And as I stated earlier, we have been able to find money for other entities and concerns in the state of Connecticut. And we believe that the amount of monies that we're talking about, far the need is far outweighs by the humanitarian effort that we're trying to do. So I believe it's something that we can get done in this short session.
I want to thank you and for calling, Joe, and hopefully that helped answer your question. I want to also thank Paola Sorecchia, Director of Advocacy and Community Engagement for Junta for Progressive Action, a community resource center in the Fairhaven neighborhood of New Haven. Paola, thank you so much for calling in today. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor.
This is Where We Live. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil. Coming up, so what's it look like in Puerto Rico today as evacuees are returning? We're going to talk with a reporter from an online newspaper in San Juan and take some of your questions, too. That number, 860-275-7266. Find us on Facebook and Twitter at Where We Live. This is Where We Live. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil. After Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico, residents were left without power and water for weeks. Many left to live on the mainland. State Representative Geraldo Reyes from Waterbury is on the phone with us. He has family on the island. Representative Reyes, what are you hearing from them now about what it looks like today in Puerto Rico?
Let me tell you, I've had the opportunity to travel to Puerto Rico twice on humanitarian efforts, and we have a third trip planned in the at the end of March, providing that the time allows for me to get away. But long story short, every time we go there, we're astounded by the number of folks that we encounter, especially in the mountain and the less traveled areas. And more often than not, we're met by folks that said, "My God, thanks for coming here. You guys are the first ones to come here." And it pains me to hear that. And, you know, five months not going on six. But I went there 3 months after the hurricane. I went there 5 months after the hurricane. And we found ourselves in many areas where it was the road less traveled. And people were very, really hurting, especially in the mountains. We spent time in Utuado, Adjuntas, and Jayuya, which are the three highest points of Puerto Rico. With Jayuya being the highest. But I can tell you firsthand, my sister lives in Utuado, and I had a conversation with her on Saturday, and here it is 6 months after, and they don't have any water to drink. Mm. And, it hurts. It hurts to hear that, you know, coming from a loved one, but it doesn't really matter because I met so many people in Puerto Rico that are really struggling.
For more on the situation in Puerto Rico today, joining us by phone, Richard Colon Badillo, editor for Noticel, an online newspaper in San Juan, Puerto Rico. Richard, welcome to Where We Live.
Good morning. Welcome. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
We just heard from a state representative here in Connecticut about having family in Puerto Rico, places that there's certain places, especially in the mountains and rural areas, without electricity and water. Tell us a little bit about that and what's being felt on the island 6 months on that this is still an issue.
Basically, the situation on the island, as the representative has pointed out, mainly the rural areas are the ones that have suffered the most. power on those areas are still down. Many of those areas, like for example, the municipality of Yabucoa, which was the first municipality which the hurricane hit, are still suffering. They're being powered by generators which the Corps of Engineers supplied for us in Puerto Rico. And while they're still trying to restore the system, the electric system. But according to the Puerto Rico Power Authority, their numbers are at 91.79%, which is about 1,351,009 persons with power in the island. But however, if we look at recently a Puerto Rican astronaut called Joseph Agaba shared with us the people around his Twitter account pictures of Puerto Rico where you saw in the central areas of the island, which is with the most mountainous areas, that it was all black and it was pitch black. So people are still questioning those numbers given by the power authority.
What are residents feeling about the federal government's response, attitudes about FEMA? We hear so often that 6 months later, if there was a disaster here in the mainland, it wouldn't be 6 months after a disaster where people would still be without power and running water.
Well, a lot of people are questioning FEMA's actions because many people have filed they have filed for aid, but FEMA has not answered back to them. It's been 6 months later, and people are still waiting for FEMA to answer back. We conducted a poll here in Noticel where we found out that around 60% of the people that contacted FEMA for aid had been denied the aid that they asked for.
Do you know why they were denied?
It wasn't really stated, and FEMA has not responded to any allegations of that kind. The only thing that we can say is that either damages were less than what they expected. We are not sure, but FEMA has not answered back on why they would deny those that aid. But many people have reported that FEMA has denied it.
There's been a reporting that there was a $2 billion loan approved by the U.S. Treasury, but none of that money has been dispersed yet to anyone on the island.
That is correct. There was a federal loan. It was originally meant for $4.7 billion, but it was cut down for $2 billion. The current administration of Governor Rosselló's administration is currently on talks with the Treasury, the Federal Treasury, in regards to that loan. But as of yet, there still hasn't been a disbursement.
On the phone with me is Richard Colom Badillo. He's joining us by phone from San Juan, Puerto Rico. He's editor for Noticel, an online newspaper there. Richard, what are some of the biggest obstacles to rebuilding?
What we've heard from the agencies and different people that are working on the restoration is the mountainous areas. That's the main problem that people say they are facing. But I can't really say for certain if that is what's going on or if it's something else. People in the island have criticized, like as the governor has also criticized, but many other residents of the island have also criticized that there have been other type of missions that have been worked on and have mm-hmm. been done quicker. Currently the power authority has stated that they are lacking materials to be able to restore the system in Puerto Rico, and that is the main obstacle they face. However, the Corps of Engineers, which are the ones who are providing them with the materials, have stated that the materials are there and that they are arriving. So currently, it's just a constant battle about which one is saying the truth or not.
Richard, in Connecticut, where we've been talking about the thousands of Puerto Ricans who've relocated here, some of them are now returning because federal aid for housing and food is running out. Any idea when you're talking with people who are coming back, that this might just be a temporary thing and they will leave the island again because of a lot of the uncertainty that still remains?
I can't say for certain. Immigration on the island has always existed. People have always left for the United States. People sometimes return, sometimes they stay over there. So we can't really be certain if people that have left, that have returned, will be staying or they will be leaving again. I can tell you that the number of people who have left the island towards the States, the mainland, have been around 160,000. That number is still debatable as well. However, it was a number given out by the Institute of Statistics, but it's difficult to measure because we can't be certain it's that the correct number since people are coming and going all the time.
Whether people stay or leave, what has been the economic impact on the island, Richard? And what jobs are left there?
There has been a drop of 6% in the population of Puerto Rico since people have been leaving the island. Economically, I can't tell you the numbers exactly, but many of the jobs, many people have left, and due to jobs being closed down, some 20 hotels have been closed, and that has impacted a lot on the economy. Mainly in the tourism economy, but I don't really have numbers to provide you which can tell you exactly how much money has been lost or how much money dropped since the people have left the island.
I've been speaking with Richard Colon Badillo, editor for Noticel, an online newspaper in San Juan, Puerto Rico. On the phone with us as well is State Representative Geraldo Reyes from Waterbury, who has family still living in Puerto Rico. Representative Reyes, are you confident that the money will come forth from the federal government?
That's a great question. I am optimistic at best and hoping that the powers to be will do the right thing for the people of Puerto Rico, who I can't stress enough are American citizens. And as I stated earlier, I am very optimistic and believe that the leadership that we have in place, both from federal and on a state level, are all doing a great job to push this agenda forward.
You're talking about the leadership, the Connecticut delegation?
That's correct. That's correct. Mm.
But there's still a lot of that needs to be done in D.C. to move that forward. Representative Reyes, does that make you frustrated?
What the frustrating part about it is absolutely the timing. It seems an awful long time to wait for humanitarian aid for American citizens. So that's the frustrating piece. Haven't had the opportunity to spend time on the ground with people from Puerto Rico and the different situations that folks are facing there, as well as the folks that I've met all around the state of Connecticut, because Connecticut has, if I'm not mistaken, it's in the top three number of states that have taken 90 Puerto Rican evacuees. And all throughout Connecticut, Hartford, New Haven, Meriden, Bridgeport, Waterbury, all have taken on volumes of Puerto Rican families. And, I'll speak for Waterbury because I think that we were able to quickly assess the situation and put the welcoming centers in on the ground to help people quickly. And that was due to the leadership of the Hispanic community in the greater Waterbury area and Mayor O'Leary in the city of Waterbury.
We'll leave it there, Representative Reyes. We're almost out of time. I apologize, but we do thank you for calling in today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Also, Richard Colon Badillo from Noticel, an online newspaper in San Juan. Richard, thank you again.
Thank you as well.
This is Where We Live. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil. Today's show produced by Carmen Baskoff. Special thanks to Lydia Brown and WNPR intern Julius Brown. Also, our technical producer is Kyone Wolf. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil.